Okay, Bahar's pretty short. Bahar is, I think, 57 Tukum or something like that. But there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. We won't start at the beginning. We'll go back to the beginning. But just to make sure we get to the middle. The middle, you get... The pasuk says, if your brother becomes poor and really destitute, so then you shall support him. And now this pasuk, what do we learn from this? Right, in Chazal, you get the mitzvah of. Right. This is one of the psukim for tzedaka. Right, for tzedaka. But the interesting thing is that in the Torah, the primary responsibility that you have to poor people is what?
To lend them money.
Correct. Right? It's to lend them money. Right? It's not to give them money. It's to lend them money. Because giving money, what's the problem with giving money?
They're dependent upon it.
Correct.
They're going to feel like they took it from
you. Yeah, exactly. And the best thing to do is give them a loan, which will allow them to support themselves. And that's why when you read the psukim and you see what is our primary obligation to the poor, I'll read it again. If your brother is destitute, you support him. You could have read that, and Chazal read this also this way, as give him tzedakah, support him. But it's clear that's not what it means in pshat. Why? Because the next pasuk is, al tikach meito neshech v'tarbit. And don't charge him interest. You don't charge interest on a gift.
Right?
The primary, now, this is a interesting in general, right, conceptually within the, in the lumdus of ribbis, right, one possibility raised by the mefarshim is that the isser of ribbis is a derivative of the mitzvah of staka. Right, because you're obligated to act extra kindly, because someone who needs a loan is normally not in a great financial state. Maybe we'll talk about tomorrow, some of the poskim deal with what are the implications of this in a sort of philosophically, in an era where loans are often taken by people who are dafka rich, right, for capital, right, not because they're poor. Right, does that change philosophically, if not halachically, the issue of ribbis? But right, it's don't take ribbis. And then the next pasuk is right, if it gets worse, right, if a loan doesn't help him and he becomes a slave, then lo tavod bo avodat farach, right. Right, but you see, the context is, right, it's, right, these are, as things get worse for him, so support, you know what, I will make this point today, because I think this is an important point, right? L'may nafkamina, if the primary way that the Torah describes the mitzvah of supporting poor people is a loan, an interest-free loan, and the prohibition against interest is fundamentally a derivative of the world of tzedakah, right? Lamai nafkamina. What do I care? Is there any, right? Or is it just like interesting philosophically? So some poskim, there's a fascinating Chuvah Chavi David Levi where he points out that, look, in general, there's a question in halacha. When should we endorse halachically valid legal loopholes? Right? A loophole that can be constructed halachically, but... Right? When should we endorse it? Not just say, yeah, that works, but when should we say,
like
that's a good thing?
What? Like bringing your grain through the window.
Right, or things like that, where clearly sometimes the Gemara says you shouldn't do it. Right? We don't want you to always avoid, just because it works, technically, doesn't mean we should endorse it. So based on the fact that the context of the Isser of Ribit is taking care of a poor person, Chaim David Halevi argues, he says, look, it's legitimate, sort of religiously, not halachically, like spiritually, like God will be happy with you if you rely on a halachic loophole when the law has been emptied of its philosophical value. But it's illegitimate, or less legitimate, to utilize it when the tam of the mitzvah is still in place. Meaning what? If your next door neighbor comes to you, or your brother comes to you, right, and says, look, I'm really, really, I don't have food to put, and I don't want to tzedakah. I don't want a handout, but I want a loan, right? Take your brother, right? God forbid, right? Comes to you and says, I'm really poor, I need money for food. And you say, sure, here's $100. And, you know, I can't charge you interest, but let me get a heteriska so that in a month you can give me back $110, right? Everyone will look at that brother and say, right, you're a jerk, right? You're a jerk. I don't care if, like, technically it's not ribbis because you have a heteriska, right? You're a jerk because your brother needs money. He doesn't want to take a handout. So fine, you want to take a loan. But you're, yes, it's not ribbis, but like you're missing the point. On the other hand, what happens if a multimillionaire goes to a bank and says, look, I'm worth $300 million. LMI, I have this great deal that I want to take out. I don't have any liquid cash. Everything's in stocks. Right? I'm worth $300 million. Don't worry about it. Right? I need a $10 million loan because right now everything's tied up in stocks. Right? I don't want to liquidate the stocks because, you know, it's a bull market. And I think if I leave it in stocks, I'll make more money. But I have this real estate venture I want. You know, can you lend me $10 million? Right? Or another example. Let's say you, little you, take out a government bond, which is you lending money to the government. Right? It's right the reverse of what the Torah imagines, meaning it's not the big guy lending to the little guy, it's the little guy lending to the big guy, right? It's the individual lending to the government. So then, is it legitimate ethically, right, religiously, to use a heteriska, to use the loophole? So he says, yes. Why? Because he says, again, if the Torah tells you that ribbis is, again, not everyone agrees with this, but this is his theory. If ribbis is, based on context, primarily part of the responsibilities you owe ethically to a poor person to help them get on their feet without crushing them in debt, so then heteriska might get you out of the formal isser of ribbis, but it's still not the right thing to do if you're actually dealing with a poor person who the effect of non-ribbis permitted by heteriska is to drive him farther into debt. But if it's been emptied ethically, because Torah is law, right, and therefore, right, the law of ribbis still applies, whether it's, you know, a poor person to a rich person to a poor person, a rich person to a rich person, right, that doesn't matter, right? The law still applies, because the law is l'dori doris, but we all know that law is instituted for one reason, and sometimes applies in reasons when, right, it's irrelevant. We've given this example 100 times, right? Driving at a driving through a red light in the middle of the night when no one's there, right? You're not violating the spirit of the law, but you are violating the letter of the law, right? So Rav Chaim HaLevi argues, well, that's the type of case when it's legitimate to use a heteriska, because now the heteriska solves the formal problem and the ethical problem, sort of the religious value that the Torah was telling you, why don't I want you to let your ribbis, didn't apply. Because the primary case the Torah is thinking of is a rich person lending to a poor person to help him get on his feet, not a poor person lending to a rich person, right, or to the government, or a rich person to a rich person. And therefore, it is important to understand context in the Torah, because often that tells you not the letter of the law, but it might tell you when it's legitimate to rely on loopholes that let you get around the letter of the law, right, but still, you know, it'll help guide you when you're still within the spirit of the law. Okay?